I want to start over, and you're going to hate me because I didn't like any of that. Do you mind?
No.
So sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Which part don't, like, all, like, back to the intro?
I'm just
going
to do it all. Back to the intro. I'm going to, like, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
You ready? Okay.
Yep.
Welcome to the Book Snarks podcast, where hosts Crystal and Heidi talk about the books that keep us all up at night.
Welcome to the Book Snarks podcast, where Heidi and I be vibing on books. And today is a special episode because it is not only spoiler-free, but we are vibing about our youthful beginnings. You know, the books we read 10, 15, 20 years ago that started our journey on our current obsessions. Our current obsessions being Sarah J. Maas, Carissa Broadbent, Jennifer Armentrout, Rebecca Yarros, and the like. We're talking about the gateway books, the YA books, the books that just stuck in our souls as impressionable youths. And again, it's spoiler free. So with that, let's get into it. Let's start our journey down the rabbit hole, down memory lane. And the first question I have for you, Heidi, is what is the book or series that you reread the first time you reread it or had to read it twice or had to read it three times? Okay, go.
Okay. I'm going to go like really far back because maybe this is what got me into reading a series, like period. And this is, I mean, I was probably second, third grade when I read these books, but I was also like a major horse girly. I was obsessed with horses. Maybe a lot of girls are when they're young.
You grew up in an area that had horses.
Yes.
Though, too, right?
Yeah. So the series that probably got me started reading, they were called the Thoroughbred books. And I was looking up these books when we were getting ready to record this podcast. And I remember way more characters and way more events of those books than I ever thought that I would. Yeah, I remember character names. I was so obsessed. So that's probably what got me into series.
I actually love that.
Yeah, they were so good. Because now my daughter loves books and she's younger, though. She's not quite reading, like, chapter books, but I will absolutely get these books for her because I think she'll love them, too. I hope she does. I'll reread them with her. They're so good.
So fun. That's actually a really good one because I feel like books that really turned young people into readers are series that nobody's ever heard of, and I have never heard of that series.
There's, like, 70 books that that author has written. So keep a kid busy for a long time. And it's just still like that today.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to do anything else. I just want to sit here and read.
I love that. That was me too. I was such a loner and wanted to read books all the time. That's just what book nerds do.
Yeah.
For me, I can't remember any series I read as a kid like that young, but I know that I did. I was really into like graphic novels. I loved the Garfield.
Oh, yeah.
The Garfield comic book. I had like 20 of them. It was like my
jam. Love that.
I think that's what taught me sarcasm, if I'm honest, is those Garfield comics.
I remember reading Calvin and Hobbes books like that. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. They also teach sarcasm.
Attitude.
Side-eye attitude, you know, like giving attitude without being lippy.
My older son is absolutely into graphic novels or comic books, but he loves Dogman.
Yes.
He loves Dogman and he loves Captain Underpants, and it's totally the same vibe.
Totally. I love those books. My kids love those books too.
They're good.
And they're always out at the library, so I had to cave and buy a couple.
My oldest asked for a box set of Dogman for Christmas, and that was an easy ask. I'm like, done.
Books?
You're asking for books? Check.
Dudes. Yeah. For sure. All right. The first series that I reread, second, the last page was over, was a series called Delirium by Lauren Oliver. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Okay. So this was probably 20s, late teens, early 20s, but it was one that I remembered turning me into a reader. It's this dystopian series, and it's set in a world where love is considered a disease that's caused all of humanity's problems. And then when you turn 18, you get a cure, which is basically a lobotomy, and it stops you from feeling love, but it also stops you from feeling every other emotion. It's a three-book series, and it's absolutely stunning. Lauren Oliver's actually written a lot of really, really good books. Replica was a really good one. Before I Fall is probably her most popular one. It was made into a movie, I think, but Delirium, check it out.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Next question.
Sure.
What was your first romance novel?
This was a funny one for me to think about because it was probably, do you remember the Sweet Valley High books?
Yeah.
That was probably.
Would you consider those romance novels though?
I mean, they were like the 90210 of books. Yeah. But I was young. So I have an older sister and she had some of those books and I was for sure reading those books before I should have been reading those books. Because I was just sneaking them off the bookshelf.
I love that.
So yeah, I do feel like, I mean, it's not, you know, like true romance novel by any means, yeah. But it was, you know, there was definitely romance in the novels.
What's the first book you read with a spicy scene? Obviously not that memorable, which is sad.
No, it was probably ACOTAR.
Oh, really?
I really don't know. Yeah. Does Twilight count? Is that spice?
No, I wouldn't count Twilight. I'd count 50 Shades if you read that, but I wouldn't count Twilight.
I did read that. My naive little self. I read it on vacation too. So I was like sitting at the pool feeling really self-conscious. I was so nice.
Because everybody's looking at you like, wow, that's very like, bold whoa. Of you to bring porn to the pool.
to the pool. It's fine. That was very scandalous for me.
It was.
At that point in my life.
Yeah. I remember reading it and being like, oh, I didn't realize. My goodness. Yeah. Just like you. I was like, I should not tell people that I read this. But now, like, I'll scream it from a rooftop that I read Sarah J. Maas, which is the same, really, if you think of the spice level.
The spice level. I mean, how many? Look, all of the KU books that I read, I mean, there's so much spice in some of those books. But I also find myself skipping a ton of it because if it doesn't drive the plot forward, then I don't care.
Totally. Like, yeah.
I'm good.
And it's got to be done really, really well. If it's just bullet points,
I'm good. Yeah.
You need the emotional component. You need a little dialogue. You need like the setting to be perfect. It's, yeah. Women are hard. We're hard. Tough audience.
Yeah.
My first romance novel was a book by Samantha Young called On Dublin Street. I think I might have recommended this to you at one point in our friendship, but it's like a series about this American woman in Scotland. And then she does this whole 8-book series about American / Scotland romance tropes. And it's always enemies to lovers or friends to lovers. I fucking ate it up. It was so good. I had never really read romance before. It's maybe 2, maybe 1.5 spicy scenes, but the whole book is just the love story, which I just loved it so much.
Did you read any of the Outlander books?
I read the first one.
I read the first one too. But maybe that counts as a romance novel. I don't know.
I think so.
I think I started the second one.
Much love to the author because it's brilliant writing. It's done so well. Mm-hmm. It's just not for me. But I would still give it 5 out of 5 stars. It's good. It's a good book. It's just a commitment. Outlander is a lifestyle that you have to adopt. It's 10,000 pages or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's big. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. I read the first one. I think I started the second one and I was like, you know, I need a break. And then I never picked it up again.
It's enthralling. All right. First series you read where a beloved character dies.
This one, I can confidently say Harry Potter.
Oh,
yeah.
That was sad. I was unprepared for the Harry Potter ones, but I read Harry Potter much older in life.
Same. Well, I think I was younger than you, but it was still like I was in college.
It still hit.
I kind of want to reread those. I haven't reread those in years.
I'm waiting to try and convince my kids to let me read them to them.
Yeah.
And they're not letting me so far, so I'm just sort of holding out. But one day.
I want to do that too.
The animated books that came out, you know, the big illustration versions of them. I forget the illustrator's name, but those would be good to read to kids, I think.
Yeah.
For me, it was Divergent. Did you read the Divergent series?
Yes, but I read Harry Potter first.
Okay, I didn't. I read Divergent first and Harry Potter came. Divergent was single woman reading. And Harry Potter, I was pregnant. I was pregnant with my son when I read it.
Okay.
It's like a different time, a different era of Crystal. It wrecked me to my core. My gosh.
I was unprepared. I 100% agree. That and Hunger Games. Like, those Hunger two Games, were, yes. like, very emotionally taxing mm-hmm. at that point.
Yes. Hunger Games 2 wrecked me. I think after I read Divergent, I lost faith in humanity for a quick second and couldn't read for a while. It's like, well, if this is what authors are doing to us, then
I know. It was so eye-opening. Like, this is what we could do in books? Like, we're really...
Yeah, you could just do that to someone we love?
Yeah.
The nerve. But brilliant series. I really loved it. All right, let's jump into some YA authors we like. Top five. Give me your top five YA era authors.
Well, we've already talked about, I had Suzanne Collins and Veronica Roth, both Hunger Games and Divergent. Those were both on the list. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read anything by Rick Riordan? I am excited for the kids to read those too, because I crushed like all the Percy Jackson books, the Kane collection, the Heroes of Olympus. I blew through those. He's a favorite.
No, I haven't, but heard great things. We are watching the Percy Jackson show on Disney right now. Have you seen
it? Yeah. No, not the new one.
I love it.
I saw the original movies, but I haven't watched any of the new stuff yet.
Me and my son like it.
I think the kids would like it.
My whole YA thing was all dystopia. I loved the dystopian series. So Suzanne Collins was definitely up there.
Yeah.
Neil Schusterman.
Oh, I remember. Oh.
The Scythe series.
That's on my TBR, honestly. And that was even before I knew that you loved it that much. So I'm excited to read that.
So good.
I'm not sure what made me find it even. Because it's kind of an old book. Older book, right?
Yeah. And everybody that I know that's read it kind of stumbled upon it. Like my girlfriend's like, I found this at a garage sale and I absolutely love this book. And I'm like, that's bizarre. It was so imaginative and different, but dark in a lighthearted way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But I really, really like that series. There is a book that he wrote, and I think he co-wrote it with another author, and I'm blanking on who that author is. I'm not even going to say the name of the book, but there was a scene in this other book that I read. This is probably the only book that I will vocally say I DNF'd.
Really? Because of something that happened in the book? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
But it was absolutely horrific. And I was like,
I'm out.
I'm not finishing this book, and I will no longer read any other But this was post-Scythe. And it was fine.
We can't have a YA conversation without talking about Stephanie Meyer.
I know.
She's like a pioneer.
It's up Twilight.
She's not a pioneer, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Twilight was so good.
Yes.
For what I needed in that time, 2015 years ago or whenever it was and I read it, it was good. It had the angst that you feel during that time frame.
Yeah.
And it fit with where we were as a society. If I would read that book today, I would have different feelings about it, but it still holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, totally. That whole series with one of my reading besties, we lived together at the time, and we would sit there, and she's a way faster reader than me, and so we would literally be laying on our couches in silence reading, and she'd get to a part and be like, oh. I'm like, shh, you cannot do that. I'm not there yet. But that was definitely that type of series for me. It sucked me in. But it was also the beginning of like not caring that a individual could be like 200 years older than a teen. And it was completely acceptable behavior.
Yeah. Oh, man. It gaslit us.
Unfazed by those age gaps now.
Totally. It planted a seed. And now here we are. Mm-hmm. What about John Green? Have you ever read John Green's book, The Fault in Our Stars?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think that that one wrecked me. Talk about heartstrings. I'm not usually into like the heartstringy kind of stuff, but for some reason, I absolutely loved that book. What about Marissa Mayers? She wrote the Cinder series. It's another YA kind of dystopian one. And I think there's like four or five books in the series, and every series is loosely based on a fairy tale. So Cinder, obviously Cinderella, and then she moves on. Very, very, very good.
I feel like I've heard of those.
Yeah, this one was good.
I was probably in that YA era. I was reading a lot of Christian authors because of where I was in my life at the time. And so I binged. There's a few Christian authors that I read a ton of.
Are they probably good? I mean, shout them out.
Francine Rivers. She's been around for probably as long as I've been alive as writing books, but she wrote the Mark of the Lion series is really good to this day. It's like kind of historical fiction, but it's really good. Frank Peretti. I read those when I was a kid.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He has children's books too, but also adult books. But that was like the first time I read Heaven, Hell, Demons, like all this stuff. Julie Lessman has written a ton of books that I loved. Good series, like the Daughters of Boston series. If you have just like easy reads, if anybody wants a Christian author read, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I am not religious in the slightest, as you know, and did not grow up religious. So I've never heard of any of these authors.
Yeah.
But I definitely relate to like the heaven and hell theme.
Yeah.
Because that's almost in every fantasy book, really.
Yeah. Did you read anything by Cassandra Clare?
No, but that sounds familiar.
She's written a ton of books too, but City of Bones, I think, was the first one that I read from her.
Oh, yeah. There's a movie on that, right? Or a show on Netflix? Yep. Is that romance or is it just kind of YA dystopia?
YA dystopia, I would say.
What about outside of the fantasy genre? What books stuck in your craw? So for me, I don't know if you've read this book, but Memoirs of a Geisha. Have you read this book?
I have not, nor have I seen the movie.
My God. It's so good. It's like a historical fiction, so it's mm-hmm. based on true elements of history, but, mm-hmm. you know, a fictional story. And it is so good. So good. It follows this very, very young girl in Japan who was sold to a brothel house and has to sort of navigate the world. And it follows her through adulthood. And it's okay. just so brilliant. It's so brilliant. I don't watch the movie unless you've read the book.
Okay. Noted. I feel like that's solid advice for any book turned to movie.
Agreed.
Read the book first. The Da Vinci Code.
So good.
Did you ever read
Dan
that?
Dan Brown's yeah. all... Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
I've never really been into thrillers like that or detective thrillers, but that book, Hook, Line, and Sinker, that
I read a lot of Tom Clancy books. That would probably be the in that kind of same genre, maybe.
Yeah, I've never read Tom Clancy.
Really good.
He's like a military style themed.
Like
writer,
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah. Let's see, any comedies?
I don't know what would be considered comedy. No? I'm going to go with no.
There's a lot of like comedy romances that I've read, and none of them are, I'm sad to say that none of them are coming to the forefront right now. Love, Rosie. Have you read Love, Rosie?
No.
That was made into a movie too. That was a good one. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? I think it was Maria Semple. Have you read of that one?
I haven't read it, but I remember that.
That one had me rolling on the fucking floor laughing.
Really?
Yes. It was so funny.
I love that. I haven't read very many books that would have me laughing like that.
You would like that one because Bernadette is this girl's mom and the book is written in her perspective.
Okay.
And her mom is just dry, hilarious, funny.
Huh. Okay.
I'm not doing it justice with that description, by the way, but
you might have to send me some of these. Okay. What's something else just popped into my head? This isn't, you know, when I was in my YA era, but as an adult, non-fantasy. Have you ever read anything by L.J. Shen?
No, but you've recommended that author to me a couple times.
It's like very extreme enemies to lovers. Like she can write a very mean asshole really well.
Like Those Red are, Flags?
Oh, yeah.
All our books have red flags.
Which is so funny because I'm married to like the nicest human. And
yeah.
It's so like the characters that I read are so very opposite of him. But yeah, she's written a ton. Like the first time I read her, I binged this one series and then I proceeded to binge like every book she's written.
I love authors that do that to you.
Yes. And I've reread some of her books too, for sure. She has a couple coming out. The spice level is high. So
okay.
Just a warning, maybe, or just an FYI. So
I think we're all okay with that. We're all okay with that. I think who else?
Carissa Bradbent. She's a fantasy.
She's a genius. I really enjoy her books.
I'm excited to talk about her books.
Me too. She's a great character writer. I don't like to compare authors, but just for a foundational level set on Carissa Broadbent, her whole thing is writing characters.
Yeah.
And I think what Sarah J. Maas does really well is writing the world building. So good. That would be the difference between those two authors in my head.
Yeah.
Although Sarah J. Maas obviously writes characters fucking stunningly as
well. We get super attached, but
they feel really human in Carissa Broadbent's world. They're very relatable. And
anyways,
I can't wait to talk about her books with you too.
That'll be good. What else do you got?
Have you read anything from Ali Condi. She wrote a series called Matched.
That I don't know.
That was pretty good. There was one book that I read that sort of, it was the only book I ever read by this author. And it was just one of those books that sticks into your body and like is there forever. And you always kind of like, oh yeah, that book was crazy. Oh, and you go back to it.
Uh-huh.
And it was called The Adoration of Jenna Fox by Mary E. Pearson.
Ooh, I know that author. I've definitely read that author, but I don't know that I've read that specific book.
I don't want to. I've definitely read that author. So, spoiler free in my head, summary of The Adoration of Jenna Fox is Jenna Fox is a teenager who had a life-changing accident and then wakes up year and a half later and has lost her memory and doesn't know why. And the whole book is going through like everything her parents did to revive her.
Okay.
And how traumatic it was for her to learn that about herself and the identity crisis that came with it. And it's YA, it's dystopia, it's like high tech elements to it. So it's like sci-fi fantasy mixed in with YA dystopia. It was wild. It was fucking wild. And I still think about it to this day, like how crazy that story was. But she's a really good writer too.
I would have to look up. I know I've read books by her, but I don't remember what they were. My memory, my pre-kid memory and my post-kid memory are very different.
Yes. So
there's a lot that happened before that I don't remember details.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's called selective memory. But then, you know, having kids, you start to remember things about your childhood that were completely fucking lost before you had kids.
Totally.
If your kids wanted to read all these books that we've talked about, are there any that you would be like, oh, hold off until you're an adult?
I would maybe hold off on like Divergent and Hunger Games until they're a little bit... It'll be interesting to see how they are as they get a little bit older. Because I think that 100% depends on the kid, right? Like, even Harry Potter, the later Harry Potter books are dark.
They're dark.
And
yeah.
I think my middle guy would be like unfazed, like just read and consume. But my oldest would be like, scarred because he's just like his heart is just different.
Totally.
Even Twilight, like I don't want my little high school girl thinking it's acceptable to run around behind my back.
Right. Run off to Arizona without a cause, but
yeah.
I don't know, I think about this a lot because my kids, I read a lot, and I don't know that I would keep them from the books that I love. I would just make sure they were ready to the point. If they're 16 and ready, be like, here you go.
Yeah. Yep.
Knock yourself out. But if they're not ready, I would explain to them, these are really adult themes and I don't think you're ready for it yet.
Especially when there's so many great options for young readers.
I know.
I mean, then too. Like when you think about Ramona Quimby and Nancy Drew and like there were so many great options when we were kids, and there's still that many great options. So there's just no need to rush.
Yeah.
My kids see me read constantly and they are like, you're reading again? You know, I mean, maybe I need to read less, but they do see that I love to read. I want them to see that it's something that you could just sit down and do when you have free time. Like you don't have to be
better than Nintendo
doing something constantly, you know, like,
yeah, they've asked me, why do you love to read so much? And I was like, it's the only time that you can immerse yourself in a world that isn't our world. How else would you experience a fantasy? It's different when you're watching a movie than it is when you're reading a book. Because when you're reading a book, you yourself are in the world that you're reading. Like, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're watching a movie, you're still an outsider viewing it, I guess. So,
because it's not your own imagination making that picture. We've read all of the Magic Treehouse books.
Mm-hmm.
And that really takes you to like other places. Like it has your core characters, has Jack and Annie as your core characters, but it takes you to so many worlds, Egypt or Vikings, or it just takes you so many places. And so they really get that from those books. I think that they'll love it eventually. When they want to go sit down and do Legos, like, reading is also an option.
The book enthrallment really came later. I mean, I loved books when I was their age for sure, but it didn't feel like the option. Do I go play outside or do I read a book? You're like, you go play outside. I'm excited for them.
Those books that I mentioned first, though, the Thoroughbred books and the Babysitter's Club, those are books that I read like really young, and I would just go to my room and read. And that was probably third grade.
Yeah. Third grade is when it clicks, right?
Yeah.
And they stick with you. Like, you were probably reading those books and they were like branding themselves onto you. Mm-hmm.
It helped too because we didn't have, this is random, but we didn't have air conditioning growing up. I mean, I feel like a lot of people didn't have air conditioning, but we would go to the library because it had air conditioning. And then we would stay at the library for hours, all of us.
Yeah.
Whether it was playing on computers or finding books and snuggling up or, you know, whatever. But that was how we like cooled off on hot summer days. So we would go to the library.
Did your parents just drop you off and pick you up later? That's what mine did.
Yep.
My mom would be like, see you in like 4 hours. And I'm like, word, I am in my element. They had a vending machine. I had $2 in my pocket and I could just sit there and read.
Yeah,
and eat snacks, because $2 in a vending machine would get you 4 candy bars back then. So.
Yep. Good memories.
Okay, third grade reminded me of this, though, before we go. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, by Judy Blume.
Yep. Gosh, Judy Blume.
My gosh. That book.
Yep.
I would say that book truly... First of all, I was represented in that book, okay? So I was the little girl going through all that in that book. And then it was at my reading level.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was done so well. If I could attribute one book to making me fall in love with reading, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret by Judy Blume. Started it all.
I love that you can pinpoint it. That's amazing. That's so good.
I've read a lot of books before then and a lot of books after, but that book specifically, I remember the emotions that... Because memories are just emotions. They're not... You don't remember the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You only remember how you felt. Mm-hmm. And that memory to me is core. That's a core memory.
Mm.
Crazy.
I love it.
Okay, well, this was a super amazing and fun discussion.
Yes.
And to everyone out there who has related to us and read the books that we've talked about, thank you for listening. And I'm glad that you're here. Anything to add?
This was fun. Looking forward to our next conversation. Till next time.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye. As always, thank you for joining us on today's podcast. Look for us on socials. We are on Instagram and TikTok at BookSnarksPod. We are on YouTube. Find us there. Leave us your reviews. Leave us your comments. Leave us your questions. Till next time, happy reading, y'all.